Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Sumi Somaskandar from the Global Story podcast, where we're asking how the U.S. election could impact the war in Ukraine. With Kamala Harris and Donald Trump neck and neck in the polls, President Zelensky's campaign to ensure crucial funds don't run out is increasingly uncertain. So will the result in November change his nation's fate? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 6 p.m., a bright evening in the heart of Tokyo's swanky Ginza district. The streets are lined with high-end boutiques, and shoppers are enjoying the relaxed atmosphere. Suddenly, the calm is shattered. Inside a luxury watch shop, three men in masks start smashing through the display cases with crowbars. Bystanders watch in disbelief, some filming the incident on their phones, as the criminals stuff Rolexes worth more than $1 million into their rucksacks and steal away in a getaway car. Just a few hours later, police catch up with the perpetrators, mostly teenagers. It emerges that at least one of those involved was apparently recruited via a social media post. The robbery, which happened in May 2023, shocked Japan, not just because of the country's famously low crime rate, but because it exposed a growing online phenomenon known as Yamibaito. These are dark part-time jobs, where ordinary people are recruited for criminal activities using social media. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Dan Hardoon, and with BBC Trending, I'm investigating the hidden world of dark part-time jobs in Japan, known as Yamibaito. I've been speaking to someone who was lured into a life of crime by a job posting he saw online.
They started threatening me, saying they know where I live. They said, "We are going to set fire to your house or throw you in the ocean."
And to a former criminal mastermind in charge of recruitment.
These Yamibaito were targeting people who were desperate enough to respond to these ads, even though they look suspicious. People who were desperate for money, people who had debts.
I'll also be exposing the latest techniques that recruiters are using to draw people in.
So I asked him, "This is my very first time. Is there a risk of getting arrested?" And they replied, and I quote, "The risk of you getting caught is low."
First though, let's clarify what Yamibaito actually means. I'm working on this story with my Japanese colleague Ryuzo Tsutsui, who explains it this way.
Yamibaito is a slang term that refers to jobs that involves illegal ways to make money. So it is actually a combination of the word yami, which means dark, and baito, which means a part-time job.
And what range of crimes does Yamibaito cover?
So it involves a rather wide range of crimes, starting from phone scams mostly, to a lot more serious crimes like trafficking illegal goods, breaking and entering, and sometimes straight-up robbery.
So you actually went online to see if you could find any of these ads. What would you say are the most common platforms for these adverts to appear on?
The most popular one would be X, formerly known as Twitter. But I've seen posts made in other platforms like Instagram, Facebook, Line, which is a Japanese messenger app. They use keywords and hashtags, including words like fukugyo, which is side jobs, kogaku baito, which is high-paying part-time job. There are a lot of accounts posting these Yamibaito recruitment posts almost daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes by the minute.
But are these accounts mostly bots? or are they still actively recruiting? While Ryuzo goes off to make contact with some of them, I'm curious about how someone with no criminal past gets pulled into Yamibaito. Most people we approached didn't want to speak publicly, but we did manage to track down someone who served time in prison for scams targeting the elderly. We're calling him Hiroshi, as he doesn't want to be identified. In 2020, Hiroshi was at a low point. The pandemic had just hit, and he'd quit his job due to severe depression. But when he started feeling better, he went online looking for work.
During the job search, I was open that I'd battled depression, and that really limited my options. I saw a post on Twitter at that time, and the description was a job using the internet. The pay was around 30,000 yen per day.
That's just over $200 a day. For Hiroshi, that was a lot of money at the time. But the job posting was mysterious. It didn't say what he'd be doing for the cash. And he was eager to learn more.
I got in touch and they replied to me on Twitter's DM function and told me to switch the conversation over to Telegram. About a day later, they asked me to send my ID. So I sent them a photo of me holding my driver's license. They also asked me for emergency contact information, so I gave them my parents' details.
Hiroshi's first job was to print out a document from a local convenience store. It sounded straightforward enough, so Hiroshi did as he was told. But what happened next started to ring alarm bells.
When I printed out this document, what came out was a fake police ID with my face on it. At that point, I knew this was something illegal.
Now, most people would run a mile at the first hint of illegality. But you stayed and you took the job. What made you continue to cooperate?
I called them and said I don't want to go through with it. Then they started threatening me, saying they know my address. And they also threatened to harm my parents because they knew their personal information. I just remember feeling very scared.
Hiroshi was transferred to someone else on the phone, a higher up, known as a shijiyaku, or handler.
He was a person who was giving orders and he sent me a manual. It said that the victim had already been contacted by a different scammer over the phone and was told to give their cash card to a police officer. So the manual said, just show up and ask the elderly lady for her cash card.
So you were being asked to scam an old, vulnerable lady. How did you feel about that?
I really didn't want to go through with it. But at the same time, I knew I had to, because I couldn't put my parents in harm's way.
The fraud that Hiroshi is asked to commit is a fairly typical Yamibaito. New recruits often do the riskiest jobs, like a dashiko, someone who withdraws cash from a stolen bank card, or ukeko, someone who collects money from scam victims. Disguised as a police officer, Hiroshi headed to the elderly woman's house in Hokkaido, Japan's northernmost island.
They told me to put on an earpiece as I was getting close to the house. They were listening in and shouting orders at me the entire time. I showed up at the lady's doorstep with two envelopes. One was empty and the other had a fake cash card in it. I told her that her cash card was being used as a part of a scam and that she needed to put her cash card in the empty envelope.
The lady slipped her bank card into the empty envelope. But when she wasn't looking, Hiroshi made the switch, handing her the envelope with the fake card. He warned her not to open it. He then headed straight to an ATM, drained her bank account, and caught a flight to Tokyo where he deposited the cash. Hiroshi could hardly believe he'd pulled it off. And when he was offered two more Yamibaito targeting elderly people, he decided to take them.
What sticks with me is that all the elderly victims really believed that these scam stories were true. So they were really sorry about inconveniencing us. I felt even more guilty looking at them in that state.
If you felt so guilty, why didn't you at some point decide to just stop?
Every time I told them I wanted to stop, they started threatening me all over again.
In total, Hiroshi took on 5 Yamibaito jobs worth more than $100,000. His cut was a much more modest $4,000. But the real cost became clear when in March 2020 he was sentenced to 3 years in prison for fraud. Since his release, Hiroshi has managed to find legitimate work. But with a criminal record, he thinks that any hope of working for a major company is gone. Looking back, he says he deeply regrets ever getting involved in Yamibaito. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Sumi Somaskander from the Global Story Podcast, where we're asking how the U.S. election could impact the war in Ukraine. With Kamala Harris and Donald Trump neck and neck in the polls, President Zelensky's campaign to ensure crucial funds don't run out is increasingly uncertain. So will the result in November change his nation's fate? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Hardoon, and this is the documentary with BBC Trending. In this episode, I'm investigating Yamibaito, criminal part-time jobs advertised on social media in Japan. But who's behind them? Traditionally, organized crime in Japan has been controlled by the Yakuza, a powerful hierarchical network of criminal families. Think The Godfather, but in Japan. Recently, though, there's been a shift towards more flexible, loosely connected criminal groups known as Tokuryu.
Tokuryu is an abbreviation which translates to Anonymous Fluid Criminal Organization.
Noboru Hirosui is a criminologist who studies organized crime in Japan.
Compared to the Yakuza, which has a pyramid structure, these Tokuryu groups are like an amoeba. They change their size depending on the job. It's these groups that use Yamibaito for recruitment. And it's much harder for police to tackle these kinds of crimes.
What makes things even more difficult is that some Yamibaito operations are actually run from outside Japan. In 2023, Japanese police arrested 4 men from the so-called Luffy Gang, who allegedly orchestrated Yamibaito robberies from inside a jail in the Philippines. Police have also been targeting online ads. Last year, they ordered internet service providers to remove nearly 3,000 Yamibaito postings. They've also launched public information campaigns aimed at young people. But people are still signing up. Even while we've been making this program, new cases have emerged. In September, 2 suspects were arrested for robbing a pawn shop in Kamakura City, just south of Tokyo. One of them claimed to have applied for the job on social media. Noboru thinks internet culture is partly to blame.
Japanese society promotes the wealthy lifestyles of influencers. YouTubers doing what they want, not working hard, and making money. There's a phrase in Japanese society, one chan, which means there's one opportunity to get rich quick.
Of course, this isn't exclusive to Japan. Side hustles are a thing everywhere. And social media has made it that much easier for criminal recruiters all over the world to pull people in with just a few clicks. But following the Japanese police crackdown, how openly are recruiters operating on social media now? My colleague Ryuzo, who we heard from earlier, has been investigating some of the Yamibaito-style posts still showing up on social media.
So I set up an anonymous account on X following the BBC guidelines, and I got in touch with these accounts that was posting Yamibaito recruitment posts. I think I contacted around close to a dozen of them, and a few got back to me, and they all wanted to shift the conversation to Telegram.
Okay, so that does fit with the Yami Baito pattern that we've heard. What happened when you interacted with these accounts over Telegram?
So one got back to me. He said, as a job, this is very easy. You just need to carry some stuff. If you can stay in contact and do as we say, there's a low risk of getting pakurareru, which means cuffed. So I asked him, when you say cuffed, do you mean, is there a risk of getting arrested? And he said, and I quote, what do you think a courier job is? This is not Kuroneko Yamato, which is a Japanese courier service. Obviously, I didn't agree to do anything illegal for them.
So it does seem from your conversations then that Yami Baito are still being advertised online despite the crackdown.
So yeah, I got the impression during my research that they are still aggressively looking for people and making posts despite it making the news and people know about Yami Baito and the police cracking down.
Now, we can't say for certain that the courier jobs which Ryuzo found are Yami Baito. But the talk of arrests, not getting caught, and the pattern of communication closely mirrors what Hiroshi told us. It's notoriously hard to penetrate the organizations running Yami Baito schemes. But eventually, we did find someone prepared to lift the lid on how these recruiters operate. He goes by the name Funaim.
When I first started working for this Yami Baito operation, I started from the lowest position, which was making calls as a part of the scam. When I was calling up these elderly people to scam money out of them, I didn't really feel sorry. I kept doing it because there was actually a lot of money being made by people more senior than me. It felt more like a game to me.
After a while, Funaim went from being a new recruit to a recruiter. And he's incredibly frank about the methods used to draw people in.
When we recruit these people we don't know, we let them do the most risky jobs, because they're considered disposable. We don't go straight for physical threats. It's more about, we have your personal information. You are responsible because you replied to this post saying you're going to do it.
After 6 or 7 years working his way up, Funaim felt he'd gained enough experience to start his own Yami Baito operation, despite the enormous risks involved. At its peak, he claims to have been pulling in 20 million yen, almost $140,000 every month. But his operation came to an abrupt end in 2015, when he was arrested for masterminding a scamming ring.
You made a lot of money out of illegal activity. Do you feel remorseful about that today?
Looking back, I feel extremely sorry for the victims. And I am also full of regret because I wasted that entire time.
Since his release from prison in 2021, Funaim's ended his involvement in criminal activity. Instead, he's now actively campaigning to prevent others from falling victim to Yami Baito schemes. He says that because so many more people know about these jobs, some recruiters have become more subtle in how they approach their targets.
The latest trend in Yami Baito is trying to pose as a legitimate job. They even do interviews over Zoom or Skype. And they say we have to switch to Telegram or Signal because we are going to be dealing with sensitive personal information or legal matters. These people they recruit through Yami Baito are being scammed into doing something illegal without them knowing.
As awareness of Yami Baito grows, tactics appear to be shifting from brazen promises of getting rich quick to more underhand ways of luring in the unsuspecting. It's no surprise that the authorities are finding it difficult to keep up. For every Yami Baito account that gets suspended, a new one quickly springs up in its place. For now, the best defense against falling into a spiral of criminal activity is a healthy dose of skepticism when looking for work online. Here's Hiroshi again.
If you see a job posting promising unusually high pay per day, that is a telltale sign that the job is probably not legitimate.
This edition of Trending was presented and produced by me, Dan Hardoon. My thanks to reporter Ryuzo Tsutsui, Andrew Mills for mixing this episode,
and to BBC Trending's editor, Flora Carmichael.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Sumi Somaskander from the Global Story Podcast, where we're asking how the U.S. election could impact the war in Ukraine. With Kamala Harris and Donald Trump neck and neck in the polls, President Zelensky's campaign to ensure crucial funds don't run out is increasingly uncertain. So will the result in November change his nation's fate? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.